We're going to turn Cybertron into a giant mud pit. The Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is Starscream, the true leader of Cybertron, and consequently, all things Transformers. Get it? That's the name of the show.
Oh, boy. All right, are we ready? Steve?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't always respond, but yeah.
What a pleasant surprise.
No.
Where is my rubber ducky?
In the toilet.
Yes.
That was awesome.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. Joining me in this episode of All Things Transformers is TFG1 Mike and Lady Wreck.
Woohoo!
Yes, we are here, and she is woohoo.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. Yep. Don't get me started. I don't want to do it.
sounds like a cockatoo. Woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. Oh, God, you're Woody the Woodpecker.
Great. I have been reduced to a bird.
Oh, boy. We are here. We have six top stories. Some we can talk about. Others we will just kind of, like, give our opinion and move on. First up, we've got... apparently, back on March 20th, there was an interview with Jason Avalos on Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Fellow Transformers enthusiast Alfonso Nation, never heard of that guy, to speak. I've never heard of him.
Okay.
I haven't either. Yeah.
I've never heard of either one of them, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So you got to speak with Jason Avalos, who portrays a security guard at the supposed museum where it is presumed a big action sequence would take place. People can't hear me hanging my head in shame of even having to read those lines.
Wait. So are we talking about the next movie, or are we talking about a repeat of another movie?
Probably. I don't know.
Okay. More museum people, ahoy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but sadly, the greatest part of the Museum Ahoy movies is no longer with us. May you rest in peace, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Robin Williams. Oh, boy. So Mr. Avalos highlights the kindness of director Stephen Caple Jr. and the fast-paced shooting schedule. He also notes that the film is a proper sequel to 2018's Bumblebee. He teases that the fans are in for some crazy surprises that they will not be ready for, and he is lucky to be a part of the surprise. There's a full video YouTube interview. It's 26 minutes long. I did not watch it. I figured TFW would just, you know, get the main highlights and write them in the article like they did. Amy, are you excited for Rise of the Beasts?
I am not excited for Rise of the Beasts. I as mundane as I could possibly say, I am not surprised. I'm not enthusiastic for this movie. Okay, we have been here before. And I know, like, oh, well, Bumblebee is so much better. It's like, yes, you're right. We were very lucky. But after having so many sequels and having, oh, all of the hype build up and then, oh, all the crushing disappointment afterwards, I have gone the way that I've gone most movies, except Bumblebee. I was a little bit more excited for. I can't be bothered at this point because I know they're going to. I've already been seeing a few things that I'm like, okay. Why does Optimus Primal have to be so huge? I guess you know, like gorillas are not normally that size. If you go back to Beast Wars, not that he was like in the same size as Optimus Prime, but yeah, okay, all right. They're going to do what they're going to do. And I'd rather just be walk into the theater, have no expectations, even have low expectations and be surprised like I was with Bumblebee, or just be like, okay, facepalm the whole time and go, I want my 2 hours back. What else can you do, right? Yes. Go back and watch Beast Wars and say, oh, back in the day when it was actually really, really great writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just came off of the Winter of Bayhem where Steve and I went through all of the live action films. And the sad thing is, as we kept going through them, we both kept saying, really? I don't hate it as much as I used to.
Honestly, I have watched all of them. I probably watched the first two the most.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and watched, like, and I literally have watched them a lot. So the first two probably the most. And then mm-hmm. it just kind of tapers off from there. I have gone back and recently saw Dark of the Moon. Sam never got any less annoying. And I really hate everything about Sam, to be fair. And then I went on and did, you know, Cade Yeager, which is not so bad. But I really did not like The Last Knight either. So those the last two ones just don't.
Yeah.
I can watch everything else, but Dark of the Moon and Last Knight, just not. Just so much. No. Cringe. Yeah.
All right, Steve, Rise of the Beasts?
I mean, you kind of already know my opinion of it, but mm-hmm. especially that I when Iacon Online did their panel,
mm-hmm.
I went on a tirade that I had to edit because I went on too long about how they were going to ruin it. And I understand their constant need to make it look like Michael Bay stuff. I wish that they would kind of evolve them a little bit more and move beyond that and make the Beast actually look like beasts, or, you know, have some kind of a semblance of the original character instead of whatever it is that we're getting in the toys and the graphics. Like, I don't mind the hybrid, I think their studio series or their main release. I'm not really sure which, but the one at least looks like an amalgam of kind of the original with like a Transmetal with a Beast Machine spin. Like for some of them, like they don't totally look out of sorts. And then the ones that they chose are totally out of sorts. And I'm not enthused with the voice cast other than David Soboloff.
Oh, David's awesome. David's definitely anything that he's in, I'll go watch.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the main thing I have here is I'm excited for David Soboloff. I'm not excited for the rest of the cast. I really wanted them to go in a different direction with this, like, and they're not. I feel like it's going to be almost a rehash of the first Transformers movie in a different way, or the second one. Like I don't get the vibe that we're going to get something amazing and unique. I wish that they would have just kind of not made this film.
Oh, no.
It's bad enough. We had the version called War for Cybertron that was just as bad.
Yeah.
And at least they got the visuals right. Or for the most part there for modern CGI. And what's funny is they talk how bad CGI was back then. I still prefer it over the modern stuff because it seems like the new stuff is just kind of lazy or not as polished in certain lighting.
I can see what you're saying with that. Yeah. Well, I don't even know. Now that I know David Soboloff, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm like, yeah, that'll make me a little bit happier.
He's playing a Decepticon. And Rhinox.
I don't know anything else. I don't know anything else about this show. I know that there. I've seen a couple of little, you know, panels, and that's pretty much it. And a teaser video. I have not looked to see who's actually writing. I have not seen if Bay is on this or not.
As far as a producer, but he's not directing. It's Stephen Caple Jr. directing the film.
Okay. All right.
My big takeaway from this is I don't really care who the director is. It's the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Moving on to something we enjoy, which is toys. Yay. We have the Transformers Legacy Evolution Generation 2 Universe Toxitron Jazz and Cloud Cover official in-hand images. I love that Toxitron. I know it's just the G2 Laser Prime. I don't care. Those Toxitron colors are amazing.
Well, they have to milk it.
Well, yeah. Hello.
It is Hasbro.
Yep.
This is the Amy's... first time I've actually seen these images, and I have to say, you're right. I kind of like the Toxitron. It's not a bad.
I don't hate any of them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I like G2.
Yeah. It's
very, very neon.
Yes, very neon, very almost black, not black and white, black light a little bit sometimes. Amy, what do you think? Because I think this is the first time we've had you on since this probably happened. The windowless boxes with just a little wire holding the figures inside where kids can just run into the stores and rip them out of the packaging.
That's dangerous, for one.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on how to put Transformers in there.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the G2 Autobot Jazz packaging.
Yeah.
The wire is just across his headlights.
It's not even a wire.
It's
really tightly wound paper, like that's what they've been doing for a little while already, but there's no like keeping it in there. I mean, like, have they had problems with people stealing these?
A couple of times, I think. Yeah,
with the heads being stolen.
Oh yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, people would steal the heads.
Yeah, Bulkhead, because his head actually folds into his chest. A lot of the stores have been pushing Bulkhead's head down.
Sorry.
Bulkhead is essentially the modern day version of Ironhide and Ratchet. Those toys had no heads.
Okay then. Well, I hope that they fix this problem. But, you know, maybe they won't. Maybe it'll just be like the thing now. They'll have to, you know, it'll be the onus will be on the stores to find glass cases, and you'll have to go and ask a person to, can I get a Transformer, please? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
Steve, thoughts on these three figures specifically before we move on?
Well, there's one that there's not an image for, and that's Grimlock.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have a G2 color palette too.
Yep.
But no, I'm kind of excited for it. I like them. Not enough to buy them, but I like them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I for me, if I was buying anything but Funko, I would buy that Toxitron in a heartbeat, because I loved it when they did the BotCon set for the Stunticon job back in 2011. Because that animated Optimus Prime Voyager class mold was used.
Which I have.
Yep.
I have that set.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Toxitron. That green and, you know, there's only two robots in my entire 43 years on this planet that I absolutely love green and purple with, and that's obviously Toxitron and Devastator.
That is affirmative.
All right. Up next, we have Agora Models Optimus Prime details, 38-inch die-cast model kit. So you got to build your own Optimus Prime, folks.
You know, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. I love it.
Well, and this is the thing. I've really gotten into customs and painting and, you know, building my own figures of sorts. I mean, heck, I bought a model kit of the Enterprise at Walmart for $5 because it was on clearance, and I'm working on that right now.
Oh man, so I'm not going to read every single detail in here, but this is very important to know. This thing, and I'll get Amy's reaction to the pictures, and all, we can discuss how he looks and everything else in a moment. This thing, this is cool. This is the way things should be done. Available, since it's a model kit and you have to build it, available as a 12-month subscription box.
I hate that.
No, I like it. Because you don't have to, like, spend $1,700 to $2,500 all at once for an auto-converting piece of crap.
I was not prepared.
Allowing you to build the complete this museum-quality model within 12 months. At the time of launch, customers will subscribe to a 12-month plan, receiving one box of model parts to build each month for 12 months. That's pack one contains more than 85 pieces.
That's going to be a huge figure.
It's freaking big. I love
the detail. Yeah. I don't know where I would even put it.
Yeah. Amy?
This is actually really nice looking, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, it's really slick looking, and I don't know. I guess I can understand like where you're coming from, Mike, with you saying, "Oh yeah, one box of parts a month will arrive for 12 months." If you want to save it for the time, you can do all of it all at once after a year. I don't know. I've got mixed feelings on that. I could see where it could be both good and not so good.
But you could also build it over the 12 months. Like looking at one of the pictures here where it's just his head with the circuits and the windows.
Oh, okay. I need to click on the thing. Okay. Sorry. I'm flipping through these still.
Okay. It's okay. Yeah. It's right after the OP patchwork paintwork Insta. So it's Optimus Prime pack one parts 41.
Oh, I see it now. Oh, wow. That's funny. I can just imagine the people making pictures of this.
I'm probably going to make this the banner for the featured banner on GeekCastRadio.com for this episode because I love this so much.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
Yeah,
very funny. You know, I better power to whoever does this because it's, you know, if you take the time to do it, great. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fantastic build.
Yeah, it's going to be a pricey build, but it's going to be.
But hey, Unicron, anyone? Come on, sure. Right? How many people bought that thing?
Yeah.
And in person, I will say, he is very impressive. I don't have it. Just to let you know.
You've seen it.
But I've had a chance to kind of, you know, help pick him up and put him, because I had a friend that took him to one of the TF cons last year. So he's very impressive. But, you know, this figure, I really don't build stuff, to be honest. So I probably won't get it. But
yeah.
I will be watching people who have it, like, hey.
So the pricing for this, the first pack is $75. Packs 2 through 11 are $150 each. So it is very, very pricey. That's not to, like, there's no denying that. But let's just do a little math here in the things Transformers, blah, 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 blah.
I'd want to know what the whole cost is right up front. If they're only telling us box 1, 2, and 3, or is that box 2 all the way up?
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. So this is what I can say from what I, so $74.99 for the first box and $150 for each additional box is what I'm understanding where it says.
Yep.
Pack 2 plus. In total, not counting any tax or anything like that or whatever, not counting shipping for each of the 2 boxes or each of the 12 boxes, $1,724.88 is what I come up with. Because if you
in other words, you're going to be one of those people that if you decide to get this, you want to make sure you have that 1,000 first. Because if you get all the way up to 6 and then all of a sudden can't buy the next 2 boxes,
you're going to be a sad, sad person.
You're going to be a sad, sad sucker.
Sad panda.
Yeah.
But okay, so for me, with that, let's just say, not counting tax, not counting whatever shipping might be for each box, but that price tag for this museum-like statuesque thing that just you can pose it, it can open its chest, it has a matrix, it has his gun, it has his axe, all that stuff, for just above $1,700. This to me is worth more than what the RoboSen auto converting one does, because that thing has batteries. It's going to end up, the electronics in it are going to go shot at some point over the years if you ever bought that thing. So I don't know. I still love the look of this, like this model kit thing.
One more detail. It's like Optimus Prime will come in a whopping 38 inches tall when complete. That's 11 inches taller than the HasLab Unicron.
Yep.
That we mentioned already. So yep. That's a big figure.
Yes, it is.
It's like,
no, I can't lie.
It will be a toddler.
Yeah. It will be huge.
Yep. That's what she said.
I mean, people that were talking, you know, the fun figures, the fun photos that we were seeing online where, you know, people were putting it in a baby stroller. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This will be the toddler walking next to it.
Yeah, just, pretty much. And the fact that the very first image in the article, and again, folks, all the links will be in the show notes, of him standing there with the little bendy pose with his rifle pointed up and his finger basically calling his shot like he's a baseball player, like, okay, Optimus, we get it.
No, he's like, I'm going to shoot that bird over there.
Laser beak, you know, return!
They should have put like a 2-year-old right alongside it, so you could actually compare how big this thing is going to be.
Yeah.
Anybody's little 2-year-old, just go for it, man.
Pretty much, yeah. All right. So, regardless of the price, we still think it's absolutely cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, it's yep. Very pricey, you know. And all that. But yeah, we do think it's very, very cool. All right, moving on. Rise of the Beasts, Japanese release date, voice cast, and trailer announced. The only reason why I am bringing this up is because I actually saw this. Proto Man was talking about this because he talks about all the stuff just like we all do. But I noticed this because he had told us, and this article tells us as well, both of the original Optimus Prime and Optimus Primal Japanese voice actors are reprising their respective roles.
Because
Japanese fans will be really happy.
Because mm-hmm. Japan loves their fans. And America doesn't.
Fair enough.
Yes. Yeah, so I thought that was very, very, very cool, very awesome that they're getting to do that. That's great. Why are you playing with your toys, Steve?
Shh. Yes. Excellent. In any case,
are you building your custom still? Anyway.
Still building that, but I need 3D printed parts.
It wouldn't be a proper podcast that has, you know, that talks about like news and toys and bits if there wasn't somebody in the background transforming something.
Probably, you know. All right, up next, officially licensed Transformers Rise of the Beasts puzzles. These new puzzles made for New Zealand-based Holdson Limited Puzzle and Games Company feature two different Rise of the Beast character collages. We can spot Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Scourge, Optimus Primal, Rhinox, Air Razor, and Cheetor. They will be available in 300 and 460 pieces and planned only for availability in the Australian and New Zealand market at the moment. I only bring this up briefly because you guys are both parents. I'm not. But if these came to the States, would you have your kids do one of these puzzles?
I might be interested just because during the pandemic, I went puzzle crazy because when there wasn't anything new to watch on Netflix and all of that, you know, the streaming services, mm-hmm. we resorted to putting puzzles together. I know it's sad, but I've never been against puzzles, but you know, at the time I was looking to see if I could find some really good Transformer ones, and there was like nothing on the market. Even on eBay, there was like, yeah, no. I was looking for like something that like what if the artists, like old school artists back in the day, have maybe had done, because I'd seen some pretty cool like Figueroa.
Yeah.
Ones that I thought, oh, that would be, that poster would be great as a puzzle. And that, yeah, yeah. I thought there's got to be somebody out there that thought puzzles were cool back then, right, too? Nope. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So.
No, we did a lot of puzzles, too. But, this isn't something I'd get my kid just because they don't have the attention span.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They say it was 360 pieces.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. If it comes to America, maybe. I don't know. I'm almost all puzzled out at this point. I don't have any more room for puzzles. We'll see how it goes. And it also depends on whether or not I actually like the movie, which, let's be fair, we've already
probably
discussed
won't.
That.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm just saying, like, it's a, yes, even though it's a Rise of the Beasts puzzle, it's a Transformers puzzle. I don't remember the last time we had one of, the last Transformers themed game puzzle thing I can think of is when they reskinned Monopoly for Transformers, and then they did it for Beast Wars too. Ooh, that reminds me. I have to get Steve the Monopoly Beast Wars game. All right, file that away for later.
Alrighty then.
Final story. What Steve is most looking forward to here. New Takara Tomy pre-orders for August 2023. Legacy Studio Series Rise of the Beasts and Eternal Beast Showdown 2-pack. Optimus Primal and Megatron.
I really like this because they have masterpiece paint jobs. Like, Primal, I can't really tell, to be honest.
I can tell in the robot mode. I can't tell in the gorilla mode.
The face is different, but I can't really tell in the robot mode as much, except for the katanas that he's got.
Mm-hmm.
In the hands, but the Megatron is heads and tails different from the War for Cybertron one we got.
Yeah.
I have that one, and I had to get a Toy Hacks just to make it look halfway decent because there was, granted I got him is the minute he came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there was no, there was no, wait time. And I knew that, you know, they were eventually going to go on sale and, you know, eventually I had a feeling that Takara was going to do this. But I love the masterpiece paint job, like the level of detail. And then that scowly face that, you know, they purposely didn't let us see. And it leaked at one point when T-Rex was coming out. Yeah. And everybody's going, I wonder if they're going to re-release Megatron. Well, here we go.
Yep.
So I love this color palette. So.
Yeah, that grape face shininess is awesome.
They even put the shoulder pieces on there, those that kind of hang down. Because the Toy Hacks has one of those too, but it was just seemed kind of a weird choice to not put them there.
Yeah.
And a lot of things, and the colors are proper. I don't know. I just really like it.
Yep.
If I was insane, I would get all the versions of Megatron, Beast Megatron, but I'm not.
Well, you are. Your wife won't let you.
Well, yeah.
Amy, thoughts on the Beast stuff or any of the other I forgot there were other figures. Like, in past episodes we've talked about Animated Prowl, but thoughts on any of this stuff?
Actually, yeah, I was just gonna say I do like the Optimus Primal and the Megatron, and you're right, the Megatron does look just really nice.
I was ecstatic when I saw the pictures drop of this. It looks almost straight out of like Beast Wars. If you're looking for like the poor man masterpiece,
Yeah, it really does look really great. I mean, flipping through the pictures, and it's just like, wow, that's actually that's pretty cool. It looks pretty right on what I expect. I hope. Well, we'll see. Yeah, as reviewers get a hold of this, like what they really think. Maybe they'll be like, yeah, this is like, if you want the best, this looks pretty good. I mean, I've seen some Beast Wars Megatron, but this, like, the pictures look really great on this. I have no opinions on the rest of them other than are they all Masterpiece or wait, no, just the one. Wait.
No, it's just the
Megatron and the Optimus Primal.
I wish that they didn't bundle them as a two pack. Cause I have Masterpiece Primal. I have no ambition for another Primal. Like I want the Megatron, but okay. I do have the Masterpiece one on its way. So,
Or you know what? You could just give the Optimus Primal to your little another, you know, just influence another generation of Transformers fans.
Oh, they have their own. When the reissue Primal came out, my youngest wanted that. My oldest wanted he's got like a number of the core class and then the Tigatron. The new one. So
nice. I will say that the Cheetor that I'm seeing here looks like the worst possible. The paint job is just not great.
I went and got myself a knockoff Cheetor Masterpiece.
It looks too fleshy to me. The color is just completely off, and it makes me want to go, ooh, that's Cheetor? Ugh. Well, Megatron looks like a hit. Cheetor, not so much.
Yeah.
At least animated Prowl is kicking ninja ass.
Yeah.
So, there is that. Yes. That face on Skyquake doesn't look right to me.
I mean,
it's right, but it just doesn't look right, you know?
You know they're going to repaint that as Machine Wars Starscream.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Cheetor figure looks it seems like every trailer or teaser spot I see for the movie, it makes it seem like he's much darker than this, like they went with a lighter tan, beige, mauve or whatever color he's supposed to be.
Cheetah colored. That's just not cheater. Cheetah colored. That looks like I said, it looks flesh toned, and that doesn't really relate. I don't think I've ever seen a Transformer that's been flesh toned that worked great.
Yeah, no. It's crazy. Just crazy. I still love the Scourge alt mode. That truck. Oh, looks so good. And, that's all we got for the news. Anything, Steve, you want to say about the news or Amy, either of you?
No.
Yeah. No.
Looks great. Yeah. News bits. Woohoo.
News bits. Woohoo. All right, everyone. We're going to take a quick ad break. You're going to hear some stuff and some other stuff, and we'll be back right after this.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, Pecan Court Michael, and the Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo move on to Transformers Animated with Transformation Animation Podcast. 20 episodes covering all three seasons of the cartoon, the books, and the awesome toy line. We'll also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped with GCRN's next Transformers franchise podcast. Transformation Animation Podcast, available on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Get your tap on.
Decepticons, transform and rise up. What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
We now return to the Transformers.
We are back here on All Things Transformers, and Lady Rec, you went to TFCon LA.
I did.
I had a blast. Did you go for the entire weekend?
I went for the whole weekend, yes.
Okay.
I was there, present. Well, mostly present.
Oh, no! Yeah, I've heard those after parties at TFCon get a little wild.
They weren't too bad, yeah. It depends on how much alcohol you consume, which I did exactly. Not, so it's all good. But, you know, you do realize if you're the ones that are drinking the alcohol that late, it means that the next morning is going to be really rough.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you have a table or are selling a whole lot of toys. I'm not looking at any of those people that, like, you know, had the big displays or anything. I'm not naming names. You will not hear it from me. If you want to know the dirt, you can message me on Twitter.
It was very unsinfair, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait, that's a different convention. Oh, boy. So TFCon LA. When did this happen again? I don't have their website pulled up. When was this again? This was what, April?
No, this is April? March.
No, it was March, right.
Yeah. So it's been, I don't know when this podcast is going out.
It's going up as soon as I get it edited.
Okay, so it was 2 weeks ago, basically.
Okay. So
yeah, so the weekend of the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th of March, 2023. That's right. Yep.
That's right. I remember that now, yeah. So what was your plan in going this time around?
Well, I've gone to a lot of conventions, but I've never gone and met Peter Cullen because I just haven't done it yet. I mean, I've been going for over a decade, like since 2010, I think. Yeah, 2010. It was the first convention that I went to. And then the next year after that was 2020. Yeah. And at the 2011 one, he was there. And then I think there was another one that I went to that he was also there at. But that was way back when I was like, oh, you have to pay like $75 to go meet a voice actor. And I was so new on the scene, I thought, maybe not this year. And then it just kind of rolled over to the next year and the next year after that. And I was like, eventually, you know, I was like, you know what? probably should like eventually do that, right? And then I was planning on going to TF Nation in 2020. What happened in 2020?
We all know. Well,
the pandemic happened in 2020. I had just bought all of my hotel, and I had just put down money on a plane ticket. Like, I'd say 4 days before we shut down.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, crap. And I was hoping to meet Peter Cullen at TF Nation in 2020, August 2020. And we all know how that went. So I kind of was on the fence about going to TFCon this year. I just, you know, I've got so much going on. I mean, March has been pretty crazy. And I just thought, oh, I just want a weekend off. But then 3 weeks before it actually went down, they said that Peter Cullen was coming. And I was like, oh, crap. I don't know if I can get a hotel room. So and I thought, you know what? I should probably do that, because I'm not saying this, but I am kind of saying this. Like, he's getting up there, you know? And although I think in some ways we kind of hope that he's just immortal and will live forever. Yeah, it's not going to happen. So I was like, you know what? If he's there this year, I should probably do it. And so I had a friend that had actually contacted me a couple months prior to this saying that she was going to go. And if I decided to go, that, you know, she would, you know, split hotel costs. And luckily when I reached out to her, they had another bed spot available. So I was like, yeah, this is my year. So that's why I went. I didn't go for pretty much anything else. I went just to meet Peter Cullen. So it was on my brain the whole weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I did.
So what was it like?
Well, I understand. So this is what happened. So TFCon had wrapped up like their hotel like batch that they have closed a week before they even announced Peter Cullen was going to be there. And I've been at other conventions where he has been at, where like there wasn't like a huge media frenzy, but he's also, that was before, like, you know, he'd done 7 movies and had voiced everything that he's voiced just in the modern era right now. Like, not just G1 stuff, but like all the stuff he's done since 2010. That list is really long. He is really, you know. And so I would say, like, so he didn't show up until the Sunday, which is fine because, you know, that's a long day of work for him, meeting people. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and went with the VIP pass. So I was going to do the photo and then the autograph.
Right.
And I thought the convention handled it fantastically. It was like they had it down to an art, which was funny because the night before they were like, we don't know how it's going to go. We hope it goes well. And I was like, oh, my gosh. But no, it really went well. I didn't really – I was such a basket case on Sunday. I literally didn't even get into the convention hall until like noon, but I wasn't, my time for getting in line for the video or for the audio for the photo op wasn't until like 1:15. So I was like, okay, all right. I was so nervous that whole weekend, 'cause I'm like, I really overthought this, but you know what? For me, he was just the one guy that I was like, I'll eventually meet him. I know I will. But I was kind of like, it's the same thing that I had when I met Nick Roach and James Roberts and Derek J. Wyatt all at one convention. I just like totally like, I'm gonna fangirl. I know I am. And he's probably the only one that I probably would, him and Frank. So I'm like, okay.
It's a good thing Frank wasn't there.
What was that?
I said, it's a good thing Frank wasn't there.
Yeah. It would have been cool if Frank Welker had been there, but and I say Frank Welker because there's a little bit more to the story.
Okay.
Anyhow. So the actual time of like, so to the build up to that, of course I was talking to all my friends and, you know, people, and, the night before, like, you know, we were hanging out in the bar area and whatnot. And when you go to TFCon and you go to TF Nation, like the voice actors and the people that are actually like working in the industry, if they want to go down and hang out with fans, they can.
Yep.
There's no media. There's no security. It's just like, if they want to hang out and hang out with fans, they can. And I'll tell you, like, it's really cool that they do that. Like, it's super fun. It's just one of those things. And like, no, they don't tell them they can't. I mean, I'm sure that Peter Cullen could do that too. Randomly, he would not be able to do that like for very long, because, you know, if anybody, any of the public found out that he's like sitting at the bar hanging out, I'm sure that would be a problem. But for everybody else, it's not a problem. Right. Frank Turturro, Jason Marnuka, all of the IDW artists that were there, like, they just hang out. Yep. And sometimes we get other, you know, sometimes we randomly get other people too. It just depends on who they're talking with and whether or not they want to go hang out with a bunch of fans and get drunk or even just hang out. But it happens. So I had kind of been talking to a couple other people. I hung out with Jim Sorensen, and then I hung out with a couple other people. And, you know, I had been kind of basically telling everybody that I was going to go see Peter tomorrow. I haven't done it yet. Same thing that I'm saying right now. You know, mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm super nervous, though. I don't know what to do or what to say. And, you know, they're like, oh. So I happened to mention, like, as the night was winding down on Saturday, Frank Turturro was there, and he was asking me what I was looking forward to doing at the convention so far. And I told him, and he's like, he was so sweet. He was like the mm-hmm. sweetest sweet. I love Frank. He's so fun. He remembers me from a couple like years ago before he started voicing anything. And that was like, that floored me, because I was like, I didn't think he remembered me, but he totally remembered me. And I was like, oh my gosh, now it's even worse. Cause it's like, you know, he's voicing Starscream, and I was like, Starscream remembers me. And I'm just like, okay, this is not, this is really.
And super secret fun fact about Lady Wreck, folks, she's not the biggest Starscream fan.
No, I'm not, but I am a fan of Frank Turturro, I'll tell you that.
Turturro, yeah, he's awesome.
And to be fair, he does voice a really great Starscream, to be fair.
He does, yeah.
I mean, Chris Latta, you know, old mm-hmm. school, yes, but I don't think I have, like his Starscream is just as close or if not better. And I know I say that with, you know, some people out there are like, blasphemy.
Well, I have a top three, like Latta, obviously Latta's in a league of his own, but I have a top three Starscream voice actor list for myself.
Gotcha.
And they all vary. So that, like, I'm going to cheat like Steve usually cheats. Like, I'm not putting them in number order, but these are my three. Okay. Frank Turturro, Steve Blum, and specifically to animated Tom Kenny, but the G1 versions of Starscream, it's a tie between Frank and Steve Blum.
Gotcha. Yeah. I have met Steve Blum as well, and he's super sweet as well.
He's awesome. Yeah.
But Frank has been like at every TFCon of convention in the last 3 years, like ever since he's been voicing stuff. And he's like one of the fans, like him and Jason. And like, I'm not kidding. They're just like, they want to go hang out and like just chill. Jason Marnuka wasn't even on the guest list. He showed up specifically just to hang out at the bar on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Oh, no, wait, not Thursday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He was there just to be there with Frank.
That's
awesome. And I think he brought his wife too. So it's like just to come and hang out with fans. So, you know, he wasn't even on the guest list. He just showed up for that. He didn't even come during I think he might have came on Sunday. I don't remember. But yeah, they're just like these guys are just like they come to hang out with fans, because like that's where it's at, is to not just to be at the convention, but just to hang out with the people afterwards, because, you know, we're fun. What can I say?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Frank told me, he said, because he could tell I was kind of nervous, and he gave me a hug, and he's like, okay, tomorrow, before you go see Peter, come to my table and see me. And I was like, okay. So I did, and like, you know, he gave me a little pep talk. He was such a sweetheart. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And of course, afterwards, I gushed and said, I thank you so much to him afterwards. It was so weird because I thought, I know I was like, I mean, looking back on it now, I'm like, I really was just a basket case the whole weekend, just thinking, you know, really nervous about meeting Peter. And it wasn't that big of a deal. And yes, I did say some, I took, when I went in there for the photo op, like, he was super awesome. I said thank you afterwards, and he was like, oh, thank you. And I'm like, I like live off of every little thing that came out of his mouth in my direction. It's just, sorry. I'm a little bit of over the top fan here with this. but then when I went and got, I had a photo that when I went to TF Nation a couple years ago, I think it was 2015, 2013, something like that. The convention, they had a semi truck there that was, I wouldn't say it was one of the movie ones, but it was, I think it was like one that they had gotten authorization to make it look just like Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's kind of like the Knight Rider cars for Kit. They have like they're obviously not going to put the hero cars in a Carl Casper custom auto show, but they have, you know, touring cars, and I'm sure that that truck was one of the touring trucks.
So it had come over to go to one of the other, not the Transformers convention, but one of the Comic-Con conventions that they have over in the UK. And the guy that I guess was the dealer, or not the dealer, but the handler of the truck, they, one of the guys that was running or helping out on staff at TF Nation was able to get him to, hey, bring it over to our convention, because he had just done another one. And so because he was friends with the guy, he got to drive in him, and they did, I don't think he actually got to drive the Optimus Prime, but they definitely did the Bumblebee and the Bearcade that year too. But he didn't know that I was a huge fan, but he was like, hey, you want to see something cool? And I was like, sure. So I go outside, and of course the cars had come in, and they had set them all up and all that. He says, hey, you want to go sit in one? And I was like, oh, are you kidding? Yes. And so, yeah. So I went in there, and I got a chance to take some pictures, and he took a couple pictures of me in it. And yeah. So I printed out one of those, because I was like, you know, after I had all the pictures and I got to see him, I was like, oh, these look great. And I thought, you know what? If I have an idea in mind of what I would have Peter Cullen sign, I'd have him sign one of those. So, of course, I scrambled the last 3 weeks just before TFCon to find them, to print them, to have them with me, which I did. And it wasn't like a, oh, yeah. So it was a little bit of it was a frenzy, I'll say that. Because the place that I usually print stuff at doesn't print anymore, and so I found this out, and then I had to, it was a little bit of a mess, and I was really, really worried at first that I wasn't going to get the photo done, and I thought, there's no way I can do this without that photo. Anyhow, so I got it signed, and the whole time I'm thinking, what do I say to him? What do I say to him? Because there's so many things that I want to say to Peter Cullen, let me tell you. But just as I was getting up to the table and I was thinking, you know, there's just not going to be enough time. I can't say anything. And I'm like, okay. And that's really what it came down to, is that I just wanted to say like all the things, and there will never be enough time in the world to do that. So I said, okay, this is your 30-second pitch. What do you say? And I'm like, oh man. So I literally just told him, you are an inspiration to me. Because that's the thing that popped in my head at the last minute. And I was like, that really kind of does summarize everything I've ever wanted to say to the guy. So I thought, okay. And you know what? He didn't say anything. He just put his hand across his chest like he was like, you know, when we salute the flag and we're like, you know, show respect.
Yep.
And that's what he did. And it was just like, it just about put me over the edge. And I was about crying when I walked out of there, because I did the same thing back. And I just thought, oh, you're such a sweetheart. There's not much that's going to happen. I mean, because all of the people that, I'd say most of the people that probably showed up to get the photo op and the autograph that day, I did not recognize any of those faces. Like, I had not seen them on the floor. They weren't fans that I'd say that I've rubbed shoulders with often. Those were all people from outside of the convention that showed up to get that. And then one of the things that I did with the VIP thing is I also got like a, there's a special sitting area for his panel. Well, I've never actually, I've only attended one panel other than this one for Peter Cullen, which was way back one of my first conventions in 2011. And they didn't vet questions back then.
Yeah.
So you got a couple of those ones that were like, they asked the really stupid questions where everybody in the audience is like, really? Grown?
Why are you asking him of that?
Yeah.
Why is Optimus Prime blue in this one episode of the cartoon series where you voice the character? What do you think? Is Megatron Galvatron or is Megatron not? TFCon, Protoman Daniel and all of the team members that work over at TFCon, they do very well on vetting the questions, because every panel that they've put on YouTube that I've watched of the Peter Cullen panels over the years, they're like, okay, you're going to have like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, ask your question. He'll tell a story or an answer, and then you go sit at, like, you walk up, you ask your question, you don't leave. You can still stand there while he's answering it, but essentially you walk up, you ask your question, you leave. Like, you don't dilly-dally. This is Peter Cullen, and TFCon's attendance is, I want to say, I don't even know, like, in the thousands, maybe more. I don't know.
I don't know.
There's a lot of people. Yeah.
There's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
But they had the convention set up the way that they did. But I'd say Peter Cullen was the attraction, and I think I'm not going to assume anybody. But back in the day, like in the last couple of years, the media frenzy around Cullen has been extreme. Like people like. Fans finding out he's going to be somewhere and they go to the airport. One of the girls I walked talked to at TFCon, they had that problem. She's like, yeah, I was the one that was driving him from the airport when this happened. She was like, it was super stressful because you're like, he's stressed, I'm stressed, he doesn't like to be around the, you know, and you're driving in the car with somebody that you look up to and he's like super ticked. And you're like, oh, please, I hope, you know, if better things could happen. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. She's like, well, it happened. But, you know, it's really taught them really quick that they had to up their game with him. And that was a while ago. So that was like, I'd say pre-pandemic, maybe after. Yeah. I'm not sure. I remember there was a news report out going that there was a whole bunch of paparazzi after him or whatever. And I think that might have been it. But the whole point is, like, with Cullen, they have to kind of – do a little bit more than they do with other guests.
Oh, absolutely. And so, rightfully so. I mean, again,
if you had any, if you were one of the VIPs, you got to submit as many questions as you wanted, but they had to be vetted.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Every single question has to be checked in those instances, whether you're a VIP or not. Like, you have to come to these things knowing you're going to see the man, the myth, the legend, and knowing that you have a short amount of time to ask him, I don't want to say the right question, but a question that, number one, he's going to be fine with answering. And number two, if you're, you know, an old school fan like we are, maybe ask him something that he hasn't, like, I remember recently in one of the videos, I don't think it was one of the things with I think he and Frank Welker did something where he's like, I was in this thing called Mighty Man and Yuck. I was Mighty Man and Frank was Yuck. You know, and I had never heard that before because I've never heard of Mighty Man and Yuck. Yeah, so as much as I know about Peter Cullen's voice acting between Optimus Prime and he did the voice of Car and Knight Rider and he's done other things, I never knew that. So like if you're going to a convention and you're a lifelong fan like we are on this podcast and on every Transformers podcast, find a question that, number one, will get approved. Number two, that is going to be an interesting thing for him to – I love hearing him tell the story of his brother, of his brother Larry and all that and everything else. I love hearing his story. I forget which TFCon panel it is, but every time I watch it, every time TFCon uploads a video, whether it's the full panel or whether it's clips from the panel, I cry every time. Yeah. As much as I say Rodimus rules, Optimus drools, that still doesn't take away from the fact that I love Peter Cullen because of Optimus Prime. So, yeah. Anything else you want to say about TFCon LA 2023?
Oh, sorry. I haven't finished yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, so I went to the panel, obviously. You know, panel was great. Yep. They vetted all the questions. I will say this. Maycat, who has done a lot of stuff for Transformers recently. She's one of the she did write some of the episodes for Earthspark. I met her a couple of years ago. So I when I hear her name, I'm like, I just, you know, focus on that just because she's amazing. I love her. She's great. Mm-hmm. She submitted like three really great questions and almost all of them got cleared for questions, but she wasn't there. So every single time they said, oh, it's by May, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, that's so great. Anyhow, she did ask some really, really great questions, but Larry was definitely there. And I say that because, you know, Cullen has said that Larry has been his inspiration for,
mm-hmm.
for Optimus Prime. And so he definitely brought that. And I will say, I've seen a lot of clips that like what you're talking about, and it's been a couple years since I've actually been to a panel where he was on. It was a really good panel, and I got lots of deep thoughts, which I actually wrote notes because I wanted to remember everything that he was saying at the time.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the it was just really, really great. I had a great experience, and it was really good. And that was all the interaction that I really had with them, to be honest. Oh, okay, so one of the last things I want to say, because this really bothered me, and I didn't say anything, I probably should have. But as they finish up the panel, they go ahead and escort him out, and they, you know, have everybody stay there because they don't want, you know, media frenzy.
They don't want to bum rush him. Yeah.
There were two things that did happen that I don't know if actually really happened. I kind of hoped. After I got my photo op and my autograph, they had some of the cars show up. And they had a guy has a custom Ironhide, like movie custom Ironhide. What is the name of that? The Top Kick GMC truck? Like legit. It was awesome. And I looked around and said, hey, because I know some of the guys hanging out were with some of the owners of the car. So I was like, hey, me and Heather, because Heather was there. We spent some time with Ironhide. We found the owner and I asked a ton of questions and we geeked out over Ironhide. I'm not kidding. It was so funny because here he's talking about he's talking to other guy fans that are out there talking to him about the cars. And then he has these two geeky girls come up to him. And two geeky women. And we go up to him and I was like, hey, I really like your Ironhide. Is there any way that I could potentially like open the door and look inside? And he's like, hey, you want to? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. That's fine. And then he's like, hey, you want to sit in it? And I was like, oh, really? Could we do that? And I'm telling you, this guy was just like, you guys are strange women. But it was like,
my weapons specialist, Ironhide. You feeling lucky, punk? Just kidding. I just wanted to show him my cannons.
But it was like, and then we started asking him about some of the custom stuff he's done. And let me tell you, he's done more above and beyond on this Ironhide. Just pimped it out in a huge way. And Heather's like, I want to get one of these someday. And so he's telling her, like giving her tips on how to buy it. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is just so like, these are the little things that you can do at some of the Transformers conventions. If you just have enough guts to go up and ask questions, you might actually find that like the people that you're talking with or that bring stuff there are just as much as a fan as you, or they're like really cool to like, you know, work with other fans. So you just got to ask questions and be polite and, you know, be really grateful and all that. And people will do nice things for you. And that can add to your convention, like, you know, in a way that's like that no other convention can do.
I just wanted to show him my cannons.
This looks like a cool place to kick it.
But he was kind of hoping that when Peter Cullen left, because he has some audio stuff on the Ironhide, like he was showing us and we were just sitting there laughing and geeking out over it. And he's like showing us all the fun little things that he probably wouldn't show anybody else.
Right.
And he was kind of hoping that when Peter left, that he'd walk out the door and that he would play clips from Ironhide just to see what he would react to. I don't know if he did, as I wasn't there to see it because I was in a panel waiting for him to leave. But I hope it did. And I'm going to ask him next year because he said he's going to be there next year. So I'm kind of crossing my fingers. It was a great experience for that guy.
You know, that guy needs to get with the TFCon staff and see if they can bribe Jess to just be laying in the truck bed and just do. I could imagine that. That's amazing.
That would be fun.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That would be so
fun. But, yeah, their plan is because he has a custom Ironhide that looks just like him. They also have a Bumblebee, a Barricade, and a Prowl that look really great. And he's kind of hoping next year, because he tried to do it for this year, but he couldn't get it done. They all have audio, like he plays a thing on his phone, and he can get them to all talk, like, do different voiceovers and stuff like that from the movies.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he's hoping next year that he's got it figured out where he can actually have them all like talk to each other.
That's
in
so
sequence.
Cool.
And I was like, that is awesome. If you can find a way to do that, I tell you right now, I will be here to listen and hear that. And he was like, yeah, well, we'll see what we can do. But it was just like, it's really cool. It was really cool.
That is so
cool.
So
that just kind of added to my whole convention. It was a good, I mean, and there are other little things that happened that were just really, really great. So, I mean, I'm only giving you the top highlights, but the whole weekend was really great. And I knew even going in that I was going to have a fun time. Even though I wasn't planning on going, but now I'm like, you know, maybe every year that I know, cause it's within driving distance for me. I live in Phoenix. It's a 6-hour drive to LA. Yeah. Maybe I should just make sure that anytime I know that there's an LA TFCon, just go ahead and reserve and make sure that you're prepared. And if I decide, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before that I can't go, at least I'm already set to go.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, like I said, I'll drive because that's nothing. 6-hour drive. Yeah. I'll do that. But
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was pretty so much cool. It. Those were the, you know, those were the good memories that I have, and there's more, but those are the ones that I'd say were the best highlights. So now that I've talked your ear off.
Oh, stop.
Well, it all began about 9 million years ago.
That's very cool. That's very awesome. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I love watching the panels that TFCon uploads to their YouTube channel. I can't do conventions anymore. I just physically cannot do them. I physically and mentally, like,
it's a lot.
It's bad enough. I'm in the grocery store saying, mumbling to myself, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me, get away from me, stay in your own space. This aisle is like 7 feet wide. You don't have to be right in front, you know, and please hurry up, you old lady, hurry. You know, like pick a lettuce, a head of lettuce and go. Yeah, I just don't have the temperament for it anymore, hence why I love it when conventions do the video recordings of the panels and the whatevers, and I get to see them on you. Like I said earlier, every Peter Cullen panel I've seen, I cry at, because he's just the man.
He is.
Same thing with Frank, like, you know, Welker stories, same thing. I think the best Frank Todaro panel was at one of the TF cons where it was him, Marnosha, and Bailey. Optimus Prime, Megatron, and Starscream. All three of them were on a panel at one of the TF cons. Absolutely love that. All right, folks. Any final thoughts, Amy? Anything you want to say before I run through the closing? And
I was going to say one more thing, but it's kind of more of a downer than an upper. So I was like, I'll tell you afterwards. It doesn't need to be in the show.
Okay.
Because I want only positive vibes out there. And do that.
All right, Steve, any final thoughts? Anything you want to say before we head into the month of Autobotly April?
No, other than when you were mentioning the top kick, my dad actually used to work at the plant that it was built in.
Oh, nice.
So, because when the first film came out, he was working and he sent me a picture and he was like, hey, look what I got. And he sent me pictures of it. And that was at the same time I was covering the event at the Sector 7 trailer at the movie theater. So he's sending me pictures for the top kick while I was doing that. So during 2007's release. So I was like, yes,
that is cool. It's a very impressive truck. I'll say that
it is.
It is like, and now that I actually, and I think I might've seen one in the past, but like comparing that to the semi truck, I can see why he's the weapons dude now. I mean, he has to be beefy enough to be able to keep up with Optimus Prime. And that truck is beefy.
Oh yeah. It's
really
huge.
Beefy. So seeing it in person and actually going up and standing on it and going, oh God, this is great.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. So cool. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us here on All Things Transformers. Coming up, as I mentioned, over the next month in April, Steve and I have at least two Autobotly April episodes that'll cross over with the pullback, where we cover the Marvel US run from the 80s. And that's what's going to happen in April. Who knows what's going to happen in May? And then Rise of the Beasts is out in theaters in June 9th, 2023. Get excited. Those beasts are going to be rising somewhere. Boy, what a lot of yeast those beasts are. All right. Talk about bread and butter. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio or @allthingstfv3 for the show. I am @tf2 and Mike. Steve, what's your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Amy, what's yours?
Lady of Rec on Twitter. That's me.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio Network. You can also check out All Things Transformers over there as well. As I mentioned, next time, Volume 2 of the Marvel run, because we did Volume 1 in Episode 101 of the Pullback way back in 2015. So it's taken us 8 years to return to the Marvel US run, because, yikes, 5 colors on one page is just not enough color. Yeah. Hey, I'm coming around to it. I'm slowly coming around to it. So that's what's coming up here next time. I am TF2 and Mike with
Steve Megatron
and Lady of Rec.
Transform and transcend with us here on All Things Transformers, and we will catch you next time.
Planning for the future. Now go!
On our way, Boss Bot.
As you command, my queen.
Oh, I do wish you'd stop calling me that. Yes. We'll be right back.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.